If I had to pick one word for this week, it's acceleration. Everything got faster. AI-generated phishing at industrial scale. A record-breaking patch Tuesday driven by AI vulnerability discovery. A government order to kill frontier AI access with less than an hour's notice. And a new federal patching directive that gives you 3 days to fix the worst bugs. The clock is compressing on every axis. And if your security program was built for a monthly cadence, this was the week that model broke.
Welcome to Clear Text, the Saturday Week in Review. I'm Alex Chen, alongside Jordan Reeves. If you couldn't keep up this week, here's what mattered and what it means. We've got four big themes to work through. First, the AI acceleration loop, how artificial intelligence is simultaneously supercharging attackers, defenders, vulnerability discovery, and government intervention all at once. Second, the geopolitical enforcement wave, a remarkable cluster of takedowns, indictments, and disruptions from the FBI, Europol, and DOJ. Third, a vulnerability landscape that is actively on fire, with 0 days being exploited in PeopleSoft, Checkpoint VPN, and supply chains. And fourth, the governance and regulatory ratchet, from CISA's new patching directive to record fines in South Korea to new state privacy laws. Let's get into it.
So let's start with AI, because it was genuinely the through line of the entire week. The Outsider Enterprise takedown was the headline, FBI and Google jointly dismantling a China-based phishing-as-a-service network that caused $1.9 billion in losses. But the detail that matters is how they did it. They used Google's Gemini to generate phishing content at industrial scale. 2.5 million smishing texts in a 2-week window, over 9,000 fake websites, 1 million fraudulent URLs. This is not artisanal social engineering. This is a factory.
And that's the part I want CISOs to really internalize. We've been talking about AI-enabled phishing as a future risk for 2 years. This week, the FBI quantified it at $1.9 billion in actual losses. That's the number you bring to your board. AI-powered fraud is not a theoretical risk. It is a systemic, proven, billion-dollar attack model, and it's going to be replicated because the playbook is now public.
And the AI story didn't stop at the attacker side. Anthropic had a wild week. They released Claude Fable 5 for the public and Mythos 5, the same model with cyber offense guardrails stripped for vetted security organizations. Legitimate security researchers had been complaining that Fable 5 safety classifiers were too restrictive for offensive work, which is a real operational problem. So Anthropic created this dual-track access model. And then, on Friday evening, the U.S. government dropped an emergency order forcing Anthropic to disable both models for all foreign nationals with less than an hour's notice.
This is unprecedented. A commercial AI company receiving a government order at 5:21 p.m. on a Friday to immediately cut off access to its most advanced models. No advance warning to users. Anthropic said it would abruptly disable them. If you are a CISO who has deployed frontier AI models in production workflows, this week just handed you a new risk category, regulatory interruption of AI model availability. You need to model that. You need contingency plans for the scenario where a model you depend on goes dark with zero notice.
And the dual model approach itself is worth watching. Anthropic essentially said, here's the safe version, and here's the version without the safety rails for people we trust. That's a template other AI companies will follow. It also means CISOs need to understand the procurement implications. Which version are you getting? What access controls govern the more capable version? And what happens when your red team needs Mythos-level capability, but your compliance team needs Fable-level guardrails?
The third AI angle this week was on the vulnerability discovery side. Microsoft's patch Tuesday hit 206 CVEs, an all-time record. 39 critical, 56 remote code execution flaws. Security analysts directly attributed the volume surge to AI-assisted vulnerability research accelerating discovery on both sides. AI is finding bugs faster, which means both Microsoft and attackers are operating on compressed timelines. CISA explicitly cited AI-enabled exploitation speed as the primary driver behind their new binding operational directive 26-04, which collapses patching windows to 3 days for the highest risk vulnerabilities. The entire tempo of the game just shifted.
Let's pivot to the geopolitical enforcement wave, because this was a remarkably active week for law enforcement. You had the Outsider Enterprise takedown, which we just covered. You had Europol, FBI, and partner agencies seizing Audi 6, a dark web crypto laundering service that processed over $336 million for ransomware groups between 2022 and 2025. The same operators ran the Dark to Web Cybercrime Forum, so this was a vertically integrated criminal enterprise that provided both the marketplace and the financial plumbing.
The Audi 6 takedown is operationally significant because it disrupts monetization infrastructure. Every time you remove a trusted laundering rail, ransomware groups have to scramble to rebuild those relationships. There's a window of disruption. But I'd also flag the displacement risk. When you squeeze the monetization pipeline, some groups get more aggressive, not less. CISO should be watching for upticks in extortion pressure over the next few weeks.
We also got the Void Blizzard indictment. Denise Obresco charged with orchestrating Kremlin-linked cyber espionage that compromised at least 11 U.S. companies. This is the first public individual attribution for Void Blizzard, and it's a reminder that Russian state cyber operations targeting corporate IP haven't slowed down just because the geopolitical spotlight is on Ukraine. These are broad corporate espionage campaigns, and they're ongoing.
And rounding out the geopolitical picture, Meta filed a federal contempt order against NSO Group for launching new WhatsApp spear phishing campaigns in violation of a permanent court injunction. NSO Group is literally under a court ban, and they're still going. If you have executives or board members using consumer messaging apps, they remain credible targets for commercial spyware. That risk hasn't diminished.
The Velvet Ant story deserves a beat, too. Signia disclosed that a China Nexus group backdoored PAM and OpenSSH components, the Linux login subsystem itself, and persisted on a network with no internet connectivity for close to a decade. They survived multiple incident response cycles because cleanup focused on applications and files, not authentication infrastructure. Nearly 10 years on an air-gapped network.
That story should be genuinely unsettling for anyone who assumes their remediation efforts were thorough. If your IR playbook doesn't include integrity verification of authentication subsystems, PAM modules, SSH binaries, the things that decide who's allowed to log in, you have a blind spot that a nation-state adversary has already exploited for a decade.
Now let's talk about the vulnerability landscape, which was exceptionally hot this week. The biggest fire is CVE-2026-35273, an unauthenticated remote code execution zero-day in Oracle PeopleSoft. Shiny Hunters, tracked by Mandiant as UNC-6240, exploited this starting May 27th. Oracle didn't publish their advisory until June 10th. In that two-week gap, Shiny Hunters hit over 100 organizations, about two-thirds of them universities, stole gigabytes of data, and are actively extorting victims.
If you run PeopleSoft, this is an emergency. Assume data exfiltration occurred before the patch was available. This is not a patch and move on situation. This is a patch, investigate, and prepare for extortion situation. Higher education was the primary target, but PeopleSoft runs in a lot of enterprises for HR and finance. Check your exposure today if you haven't already.
The Checkpoint VPN flaw CVE-2026-50751 is the other critical one. Authentication bypass and remote access VPN, CVSS 9.3. Checkpoint patched June 8th, but Watchtower published the full technical analysis and a detection artifact generator on June 12th. That means the barrier to exploitation just dropped to near zero. A Keelan ransomware affiliate was already confirmed in at least one breach. CISA gave federal agencies 3 days to patch. If you have Checkpoint VPN in your environment, you're in a race.
And the supply chain attacks continued. Microsoft's Miasma incident, 73 of their open source GitHub repositories for Azure and AI tools were compromised to inject credential stealing malware targeting developers. Some repos are still offline. Then separately, over 400 Arch Linux AUR packages were hijacked to deploy a Rust-based info stealer and eBPF rootkit targeting developer credentials. Two different supply chain attacks in the same week, both targeting developer environments, both going after credentials and access tokens. The developer workstation is the new high-value target.
And on breaches, Francis Tap Messenger, which was built specifically as a sovereign secure communications platform for government employees, was breached. 73,000 accounts compromised. The irony is thick. You build a bespoke encrypted platform to avoid the risks of commercial messaging apps, and then that platform itself becomes the attack surface. Sovereign tech is not inherently more secure. It's differently vulnerable.
Novo Nordisk also disclosed a breach of clinical trials data. The world's largest insulin producer dealing with unauthorized access to patient information from clinical trials. That's a dual risk scenario. Patient privacy obligations under both HIPAA and GDPR, plus potential theft of proprietary pharmaceutical R&D. Life sciences CISOs need to model that explicitly.
Let's wrap with the governance and regulatory segment. CISA's BOD 2604 is the one that reshapes the operational landscape. Risk-tiered remediation timelines replacing the old blanket 14-day window. If a vulnerability hits all four criteria, active exploitation, internet-facing, critical asset, high CVSS, you have 3 days. CISA was explicit. AI-enabled exploitation speed means defenders cannot take weeks to patch.
This is a federal directive, but the ripple effects will reach every sector. Insurance carriers, auditors, and regulators will calibrate their expectations against this benchmark. If CISA says 3 days for the worst vulnerabilities, your board is going to ask why your SLA is 14. And honestly, they should.
South Korea fined Coupang $409 million for a breach affecting 30 million customers. That's the largest data breach penalty in Korean history, and it dwarfs the $88.8 million they hit SK Telecom with earlier this year. APAC regulators are now competing with GDPR on enforcement severity, and Massachusetts passed a comprehensive privacy law banning the sale of precise location data, adding another jurisdiction to the U.S. patchwork.
So, stepping back, what defined this week? Jordan, you said it at the top. Acceleration. AI is compressing timelines everywhere simultaneously. Attackers are generating phishing at machine scale. Vulnerability researchers, both good and bad, are finding bugs faster than organizations can patch them. Governments are issuing emergency orders with less than an hour's notice. Regulators are collapsing patching windows from weeks to days. And the response capacity of most security programs was designed for a slower world.
The uncomfortable truth is that a lot of enterprise security is still operating on monthly patch cycles, quarterly risk reviews, annual threat model updates. And every single story this week, from the PeopleSoft Zero Day to the Anthropic shutdown to the 206 CVE patch Tuesday, is telling you that cadence is no longer sufficient. The adversary operates continuously. The regulators are moving toward continuous. Your program has to get there too.
For next week, keep your eye on three things. One, the fallout from the Anthropic model suspension. What does the government do next? And does this set a precedent for other AI providers? Two, mass exploitation of the Checkpoint VPN flaw, now that the POC is public. And three, watch for displacement attacks from ransomware groups whose laundering infrastructure just got seized. When you squeeze one part of the pipeline, pressure shows up somewhere else.
That's the week. The Daily Show is back Monday. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm.
Thanks for listening to Cleartext. Have a good weekend, and patch your Checkpoint boxes before Monday.